Hello, and welcome to Cinematic Sevens, lists of seven films based on a simple theme. I'm Stephen.
And I'm Smokey.
How are you doing, sir?
I'm all right, mate. How are you?
I'm not too bad. It's nice to be back with this of our different shows that we do. We're trying to do it more regular, aren't we?
We are. And it's a nice freeform episode. I like this. It's easy.
Absolutely. There's less structure to it, as people will hear in the next however many minutes.
Yes.
But we are trying to get back on board with this and make it a more regular thing, which will hopefully encourage more people to participate.
Yeah.
Because that's one of the things that we do want out of this.
That's true. And we will have special guests at some point as well.
We will as well. Mm-hmm. At the end of this show, I will announce who will be guesting with the pair of us on the next show.
Yeah.
But until then, we shall rock it on with this show that we're doing now.
We shall, and at the end of the very first Cinematic Sevens, you proposed the forthcoming challenge.
I did, yes. Mm. It was jail films.
Yeah, so, but there was a caveat to that, wasn't it?
Yes, there was two caveats, in fact. It was...
Aren't there those frilly things you wear around your neck?
Yeah. You come from Croatia, I believe.
Ah!
So the caveats were that it was films that were predominantly based in a jail. So it didn't have to be that the entire story was only in the jail, but there was a significant part of the film was in a jail. And also, I myself was restricting myself purely to jail films, but I was allowing other people to include prison of war camps and things, even though I decided that for me wasn't what I was aiming for.
No, but you, I do remember with my very fractured memory, the way it is, I do remember you saying behind bars.
Rather than barbed wire fences of prison of war camps.
That was a Pamela Anderson movie, wasn't it?
Yes. it was the making of.
Yes. Nice. I hadn't even thought of that. Yeah, well, I've been looking forward to this.
Oh, good.
Because haven't you?
Absolutely, so, yes.
Good.
It's been a while.
Yes, it has. I'm not doing it.
You almost did, though.
I almost broke into song.
Yes. And we're all glad you didn't.
Yes, man, I'll be just. Shall we kick off?
Yes, why not? Would you like to go first?
I would like to go first.
Although, to be fair, I think that there's one choice that's going to be across virtually everybody's list. So you might as well just start with that one, I think, by agreement, maybe.
Well, yeah. Well, I actually think there's two choices that will be across everybody's list, but I will go with this one first. And that is, of course, you can't talk about prison movies or films without... You're going to start with The Shawshank Redemption.
Absolutely, yes. It's iconic in that sense.
Obviously, it's an obvious choice because it's the number one movie on IMDb.
Well, that's obvious.
Yes, it is. Not sure I agree with it being the number one greatest rated movie on IMDb, but then it's an algorithm that doesn't really work on IMDb.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's a great film.
It is a great film.
From the very first time I saw it, which, although many people would probably try to claim the same and think I'm just being pretentious in saying so, that I did first watch it before its fame had really blossomed to what it is now. I mean, it wasn't like it was in its first flush that I saw it or anything like that, but
people forget it was a flop.
Yeah,
it did not do well at the cinema.
It was on DVD, I saw it, but it was in the early stages before it had become so notorious and well known.
Mm-hmm.
So I jumped on the bandwagon early, which everybody else seems to have jumped on.
Yeah.
But it's a great film.
It is.
So I'm not going to knock it and say it's not worthy of adulation, because it is.
Ooh.
Whether we agree that it actually deserves to be number one or anything, I think it's probably not.
No.
But it'd be hard-pressed to find people that would really knock it down. Generally, those are people who have less appreciation of films anyway as a medium. So,
I mean, I'm sure these people don't exist at all in the world, but there are people out there possibly who have taken 20 years to watch this movie finally.
Well, yes, there are, and there are people out there who don't have the same appreciation of cinema and don't like maybe a film like this that has so much to go in for it, and same with things like The Godfather. And such. So it takes all kinds, really.
Doesn't it?
And we're in no position to actually judge other people's choices.
No.
The whole point of this podcast is just to present our choices and those of other people.
Very true.
In the main, without actually casting any judgment on those choices by people. Occasionally, it's hard to avoid.
Of course.
But in the main, people's choices are their preferences and they're entitled to be wrong.
They are entitled to be wrong. That's very, very true. Just a little bit about Shawshank. I do like it. It's very, very good. Tim Robbins, very good. In fact, probably his best performance. I do like Tim Robbins.
Yes.
But he has made some weird movie choices over his career.
Yeah. I think that's, he's sort of left a field and he purposefully gone for some of the things that aren't necessarily going to be sort of blockbustery type things.
I mean, but then again, what was the Oscar he got? It was for Mystic River, wasn't it? And so, I mean, that's fine. That was a great film and
course,
Clint Eastwood movie, wasn't it?
Yeah.
And then I think this, again, this is possibly one of Morgan Freeman's best performances as well.
Well, yeah. I mean, partially this is one of the things that really brought him to the fore, I think. I mean, okay. There'd been other films he'd been in. I think the first thing that brought him to my attention was Driving Miss Daisy.
I think it was Robin Hood for me.
So,
I think.
But this was his real growth onto sort of a more global awareness in the sense of him being able to pass over from people who were just movie fans to actually recognise who he was.
Yeah.
And obviously that iconic voice.
Oh, yeah.
So, but the film, I think, has a number of strong performances from other people in it as well. And that's what makes it such a good film, I think. I'm not a Stephen King fan sense. I mean, whenever I've tried to read any of his books, I've failed to complete them. And it's very rare I will actually read a book to the end just on principle.
Yeah.
Same way with stopping from watching a film to its end.
Yeah.
It's a principle I have. But with Stephen King ones, unfortunately, I've always had to just decide, no, I can't continue with this difficultness, really.
Oh, and his anti-smoking propaganda that came in halfway through his career. That was interesting.
Well, as a non-smoker and who actually detests smoking, you should all be sent down mine shafts to do such a horrid, disgusting thing. That never affected me at all.
Oh, good.
But the film did have an impact on me, and it did add to my appreciation of film stage in my life when I was starting to be more aware of the potential of what film could be rather than it just being some pictures on a screen telling a vague story and that was a nice way to spend an hour. It actually, to mean more than that, this is one of the films that at that period in my life when I was becoming more appreciative, it actually was at the right moment.
Yeah.
Unfortunately, that then kicked off all the gubbins that we're now doing now with recording podcasts and pontificating
but
about
we can,
films.
But this is the medium we have chosen and we're allowed to do that. But,
yes, because ballet wasn't really working, was it, when we tried to do the ballet podcast?
No, that Black Swan thing completely ruined it. Yeah, that was a tricky one. I will just say that on this Stephen King thing, I mean, I think it is fair to say that there has been more unsuccessful Stephen King adaptations than there have been successful ones.
And by and large, I think that generally speaking, that the most successful adaptations of Stephen King's work have been either ones that have taken a more liberal attitude towards the base material, such as Kubrick, or ones that are based upon short stories and then expanded by other people.
True. The other ones are few and far between. I say Carrie, I suppose, which is very heavily based on the book, but is actually better than the book. But then, for every good one, you've got a terrible one, like Maximum Overdrive and shit like that. Ooh, Misery. That was a good one.
Yeah.
I'll give Misery that. So, one last thing I would like to say about The Shawshank is it does have one of the most infuriating lines ever for me. It's something that always sticks to me anytime I see it. It's a scene with Tim Robbins and Morgan Freeman. It's when they first meet up in the yard and Morgan Freeman's playing catch with the baseball with his mates.
Yes.
Tim Robbins comes up. I understand you're the man who knows how to get things and blah, blah, blah. They have that whole discussion. And then Tim Robbins goes, thank you very much, Mr. And Morgan Freeman goes, Red. Everyone calls me Red. And Tim Robbins goes, oh, really? Why did they call you that? And he goes, well, maybe it's because I'm Irish. No, it's not. His second name's Redding. That's why they call him Red, because it's a cut down version of Redding. And I'm sorry, that's always pissed me off. Really stupid line that has no place in the movie.
I disagree.
You're wrong.
I think the point of him saying that is to actually highlight to Tim Robbins' character that he shouldn't ask stupid questions sometimes.
Nope.
He should actually think
before
he talks.
I'm sorry. Is it really obvious that this black man's going to be Irish? No, it's not. No, I'm sorry.
Well,
that's stupid.
Well, no, what he's saying is it's obviously not because I'm Irish. So that's what he's trying to say.
But then it's Morgan Freeman's fault then, because the way he puts it across, he goes, well, maybe it's because I'm Irish. It's like a kind of question at the same time. It's a poor, poor line and shouldn't have been in the fucking movie. I'm sorry. No. I hate that line in that film. That's the only bit I hate about The Shawshank. Terrible. Terrible. Should we move on?
I think we should.
Okay. Well, as I said, there are going to be a couple of movies on here that people are just going to throw out there because they hear prison movies. And we did the the main one, which is Shawshank. But then I suppose you could equally say that the next one is just as synonymous when you say prison movies, and that is The Great Escape.
Right, yeah.
The 1963 John Sturges movie. Steve McQueen, James Garner, Dickie Attenborough, plenty of other people in there.
Dear, dear Dickie.
Oh, poor old Dickie. But, great movie.
Yes.
Staple. If you are not from the UK, you will not realise how this is a staple of bank holidays and Easter and
Christmas
and every other holiday you can think of, maybe apart from Halloween. But then we don't care about that in this country because we're sensible. So, Great Escape. Fantastic. Absolutely brilliant film.
It is a great film. Yes.
Great cast.
Absolutely, yeah. Obviously, there are issues that some people have with it about how Steve McQueen manages to leap his motorcycle over a few bits of barbed wire and traverse hundreds of miles of countryside.
Spoilers. spoilers if you haven't seen this from 1963.
Yeah, if you haven't seen Great Escape yet, then you maybe never will. But yeah, so there's issues like that, which are things that, as a Brit, you tend to have to live with, that they insert an American star and paint them as being the hero when they couldn't do without, or that they are the plucky one that survives at the end sort of thing, or through their American grit sort of thing.
Yeah.
But otherwise, it is a very well played out film that is very well acted.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, I mean, it's only not on my list because, as I say, I avoided Prisoner of War in favour of actual lawbreaker territory.
It is behind bars though, so I am technically still within my reach.
As I said, I allowed other people, even though myself I've excluded those from from the equation.
This is going to throw up much more interesting conversations then that we have both. But I mean, I can't think of this film without thinking of Eddie Izzard talking about it. So I'm saying all the Brits, you know, dress up as German soldiers and get out, and Steve McQueen disguises as an American man.
Yes.
Yeah, it just and then conversely, it just reminds me of all the in jokes they have in Chicken Run.
Yeah, I mean, Chicken Run is a great reference point to it.
Brilliant.
Which shows that level of film, which Chicken Run is a great film in its own right,
mm-hmm.
to watch, and it does reference heavily Great Escape.
Yeah.
But it doesn't take away from it, and it shows how iconic Great Escape is that mm-hmm. it can do that.
Too right, too right. But yeah, I love the film. I think it may be, I mean, our United Statesian friends will have to tell us if it's the case, but it is, I think it's like one of those things that you're born with the Beatles lyrics already inside your head. You're born with knowing the Great Escape from a very young age, because it's just always on the TV.
Absolutely, yeah.
Yep. So, up next, what's yours, mate?
Cool Hand Luke.
Ah, oh, excellent.
Paul Newman put in a fantastic performance, and I mean, it is an iconic role for him very early on. I mean, he had so many. This is a difficult thing with him.
That's true.
And it's difficult to not have a situation where he overshadows this film as a star.
Sort of like a personality becoming bigger than the film.
Well, this is it, yeah. Mm. It's a vehicle for him, obviously, in many ways, but in itself as a film, I think it's incredibly well put together.
I agree.
I mean, it's a lot of really good support cast in there. And just the way it's scripted and the sort of the message it's telling about society at the time as well, it's got so much in there to actually tell outwards without it just being a simple story about prison and about, you know, one man and his refusal to be buckled down by the system.
Conforming,
This is it. It does strike a chord in a number of ways in that sense because obviously, you know, I'm stupid in a lot of my life and won't conform just for the sake of it sometimes. Just
No. I won't have that. You're saying you're still, you have just been wanting to be Paul Newman all your life, haven't you?
Well, this is it, yeah. I mean, the number of times I've aped his behaviour.
Yeah.
So many, does that
make me Robert Redford?
No.
Ah, shit.
Unfortunately not, no.
So how's your egg eating? How can you get on with that?
I find that's something I haven't done for a number of years. I mean, there are people out there that may tell you how good I was at it, but I wouldn't like to claim any proficiency myself, because that would be far too egotistical. So I'll allow them to fill in the blanks on that one.
That was so funny and so filthy at the same time.
Why?
Because it was. Sorry, it just sounded funny in my head.
Oh, okay.
So, yeah, and don't forget George Kennedy there as well.
Well, this is it, yeah. I mean, there's a strong cast in there that can be overlooked if people are just focusing purely on Newman. But I do think it's, as a film, not just about jail, but about a man's struggle and about individuality,
mm-hmm.
along with the way that society views criminals and the way it removes the rights from them to the degree where they are ignored as animals almost. I think it's got a lot in there. Without sledgehammering it, I think it tells it in the correct way.
Fair enough, yeah. And bringing up a failure to communicate is always a bonus.
Well, we've always had failures to communicate, even if it's just me and you.
Yes, that's why this podcast is so popular. Fair enough.
Popular.
Yes, the one, yeah. So cool, and Luke, I can't disagree with that. It's not on my list. It is on my honourable mentions.
That's fine.
So yeah, so we will now go on to my next one, which is one I saw very, very young. In fact, too young, I saw this film. But I do enjoy it a great deal. And we're going to go on to the 1974 movie, The Longest Yard.
Oh,
the original.
Reynolds.
The original Mean Machine and Longest Yard film. The only one that I can really think of off the top of my head, I'm sure some of our other podcasting movie friends out there will be able to tell me different, but the only one I can really think of that's had two recent remakes, and the less said about those two the better.
Yeah, on both aspects of what you said there, I think I'd have to agree.
Which one?
In the less said about those remakes the better.
Yep.
And also that I can't think of any other film that has had two recent remakes.
No, nothing that's instantly leaping out of my mind.
No,
but I will say, yes, so the 1974 Longest Yard, directed by Robert Aldrich and starring Burt Reynolds, Eddie Albert and Ned Lauter, and who sadly passed away just a couple of years ago, I think it was. This was great. I mean, I watched this very young.
Yes.
I didn't really fully understand it. Parts of it, I should say.
Yes.
Obviously, you know, you've got the sporting triumph at the end, you know. I mean, this is a film that packs every sporting cliche into a film.
Yes, unashamedly, really. It kind of defines those cliches.
But stuffs it in a prison movie.
Yeah.
Which is just brilliant, and it works really well. Now, I'll come very, very briefly, because we need to rattle through this, to the bits that I didn't understand when I was a kid.
Right.
Now,
what scrimmage is and the...
No. Yes. What?
Why they kept stopping every 3 seconds.
Going, hey, hey! Yeah. Don't understand that at all. No. Yeah. That only works in a karate movie.
Sweep the leg.
Yeah, sweep the leg. Sweep the leg, Johnny. No, this was more the fact that I didn't really understand the match-fixing thing. Didn't really understand that. But then also that I didn't understand, until actually quite recently when I watched it again, is that he was hiring himself out as a whore, as a male whore, at the very beginning of the movie. Didn't understand that at all. Just because he was famous and because of this, and women wanted to sleep with a famous person.
And
get that.
And at what stage did the penny drop?
Well, as I said, I hadn't seen it for a long time, so I don't know. Quite recently, I'd say, the last couple of years, in fact, when I rewatched it. But forget that. I mean, this is just great fun. It is set in a prison. I win there. That's fine. And great sporting cliches. So great cast. Some fantastic. Actually, speaking about people who passed away, Richard Keel, sadly, who just passed away.
Oh, of course, yes.
Jaws from the Bond movies. He was in this as well. Who plays the, you know, the big beefy weightlifter who gets his nose broken and start crying, which is always really funny.
It's a memorable scene, definitely.
It is. And I think this movie's fantastic. And now, looking at the DVD cover that there is, it's the worst photoshopping I've ever seen.
Yeah, I was looking across at that, and my designer instincts were tingling, and I was thinking, I won't mention that because it'd be far too geeky to say.
No.
Burt Reynolds' head is the only thing in that that hasn't been brought in from a different source, and all the rest of the bits in it have been brought in from several different sources, and it's definitely you can just see how
it looks
cobbled
like,
together it is.
It looks like someone's put two crabs on the side of the cover. Sorry, kiddies, go on to IMDb and look up The Longest Yard from 1974. Look at those, are like crabs. Look at the shadow. Oh, right, I'm sorry, we're geeking out here, but there you go. Anyway, if you want to see the best Mean Machine, the best Longest Yard, whatever you want to call it, watch the 74 version. Fuck Vinnie Jones and fuck Adam Sandler, and that's my review done. That's the best you're going to get out of me.
Well, I think that's given your opinion on that quite. As I say, I don't remember it very well. I have seen it.
Right.
And
I take it this isn't on your list.
And it's not on my list. Right. No, I have seen this, and I've seen at least one of the remakes.
Vinnie Jones one? Or?
I think so, yeah. And found it to be awful.
It was. So, absolutely fucking terrible. Although it had a good cast, but it's a terrible film.
And this, the Burt Reynolds version, I remember being of a different ilk. And I look back on it and think of it as being quite cheesy in a number of ways, like you say, with the cliches have been rammed in there to the stuffing, really. But still, it's got that warmth to it the way you regard it. And I think it is because I saw it at a particular age when maybe I didn't understand some of the concepts as well, like you say. Mm-hmm. Or maybe it was just one of those things that I just watched in comfortable surroundings on a sort of Sunday evening in my teens or whatever. So it isn't a film I would, you know, chuck out of the list at all. And fair enough, I can completely accept it as being a mention.
Good. So what's your next one, please, sir?
My next one is Pampignol.
Ah, excellent.
Which I know it was actually reviewed by our good friends at Stinking Paws.
They're filthy hiatus,
about a year ago, and they did a much better review of it than I ever could. So I won't attempt to in any way compete with that.
We're not here to review. We're here to put these things out in you.
But I think bringing the major two stars that it was, Steve McQueen and Dustin Hoffman, into it, and putting them in period film set in France that then transfer over to the French colony and stuff. I think that was, in some way, quite a brave idea at the time, considering the size of the stars and what they were going for.
Sure.
Incredibly well acted from both of them and, again, a number of the other actors around it.
Oh, yeah.
And the story is incredible, really, you know, to bring home to you the brutality of the system there and how easy it was for people to be maligned and suffer injustice without any form of recourse whatsoever and to just be a fate worse than death in some respects. But I think it's a film that deserves a lot more attention than it gets because of the performances and the story and also to understand history in some ways, because this isn't something that is isolated just to colonial France and such like of the time. It's this kind of injustice pervades elsewhere in history and to some extent still now, and that lack of justice within a justice system is something that really needs to be understood and people to be aware of. But as I said, the film in itself is just not necessarily a joy to watch, but a great experience to watch. The experience it gives you of impact and the emotive force of it definitely makes it deserving of a wider watching by people.
Can't disagree. I haven't seen this movie in, it's a long time now, at least over 5 years ago. I do like the film. I think, again, when we have that trouble of saying whether you enjoy it or not because of the subject matter, I think this is another one that's quite, you know, it fits that bracket quite well. But you can't disagree with it. The acting's great. I mean, they were born to play those parts. It's absolutely fantastic. I did attempt to read the book many, many years ago and found it very, very hard going. And I will ashamedly say that I never made it all the way through. I think I will give it another try at some point. But great film. Not on my list. It is on my honourable mentions, just because I've gone for a bit more sillier route than you have, so there's no way I can say that shouldn't be on the list. Fantastic movie and fantastic choice. Well done.
Great.
Very, very good.
Your next one?
My next one. Okay, so we will go from Papillon and The Longest Yard to, well, if you come from the UK, there's really only one prison film that you can really talk about.
Yep.
And that is the 1979 movie
Porridge.
Scum. No, that wasn't the Porridge movie wasn't called Porridge, but there you go. No, it has to be Scum. Alan Clarke, Ray Winston, holy fuck. What a head fuck of a movie.
Yeah, it really is very visceral. And again, there's another one where it brings home the stark, dark, gritty reality of being put in this situation. I mean, especially since the added effect of it being in what we Brits will understand as Borstal or what the people in other countries will, you know, explain that's like a young offenders institution. Juvie, perhaps, if you're in one of those countries.
Colonials.
Yeah, can't even be bothered to say the whole word. That has an extra impact to it.
They can't even spell it right. I'm sorry, it's J-U-V-E. No, it's not. It's really not. That's how they spell it right. I'm sorry, you started me off. Sorry, mate, carry on.
But it is. It's very gritty and dark in a lot of respects and brings home what it means to be in that situation.
Oh, yeah.
And the performances, I think, are fantastic across the board.
Yeah.
And it's very much a contained film as well. I know, generally speaking, the films that we're talking about, because they're set in prisons, they will be contained.
Yeah, claustrophobic in some way. Yeah.
But on the other side of it, that they've got the attitude that this is taking place in a lot more smaller spaces than you would expect with a lot of the jail films.
Yeah.
You know, Shawshank, that's the prison scenes are quite large and stuff, whereas this is the equivalent of filming in a flat as opposed to a house. You know,
true. Do you think that's a correlation between sort of British and American prisons?
It's a little bit. I mean, they've got the biggest prison population in the world per head of the population, which is absolutely tragic for them as a nation. I mean, it's one of the few things in which America is number one.
That's obesity, isn't it?
Yeah, and military spending.
go figure.
Apart from that, they're about the only three things there. But
we've been unnecessarily harsh today.
You say unnecessarily.
All right, we're being harsh today.
Yeah, okay. but back to Scum. It is an incredible drama played out, which is in a number of ways actually befits the words hard hitting.
Yeah, in every sense of the term.
Even if it's a snooker ball in a sock.
Oof. God, that scene.
That stuck with me forever, really. That, as a moment, just realising the brutality, the lengths that you need to go to in such a dire situation.
Yep.
And you know, not to show a weakness, that you need to actually go in there and show that strength straight away.
To be the daddy.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. And I'm not going to do a terrible Cockney accent and say it, but...
You're always doing an awful Cockney accent and the entire podcast we've been doing.
I am not a Cockney. I'm a Southerner. There's a difference.
When you get drunk, though, you turn a lot more Cockney.
Well, that's true. I turn into booze. But... as much as I hate the term grimy, this is a grimy fucking movie. Hard to watch. It's hard to look at. Correct me if I'm wrong, but there is no respite in this movie. It's full on from the very opening minute.
It doesn't have any rest periods at all in it, where you would normally have a lull for you to feel a bit more in touch with the characters, other sides, and the outside life that they've got, this part of them that they're concealing and all this kind of stuff. All the way through, this is just brutal.
Harsh, unrelenting, straightforward. This should have gone along with our forgive us if you don't know, kiddies, when we do our crossover episodes with the Stinking Paws. This could easily go under our hashtag of rape movies.
But then again, the same with Shawshank.
Yes, that's true. This is a bit more visceral.
Well, yes,
in
absolutely.
This depiction of male rape.
Yeah.
But because this is really fucking. Really fucking hard to watch, really strong. This is one of those films that will fit into the category of definitely not for everyone. You need to have a strong stomach and a strong mind to get through this. And it's not a very long film, because it was a TV serial first and then made into a movie,
wasn't it? Absolutely,
It wasn't... it was that way around. Yeah, sorry, I was just getting my things right. Fantastically well made, dark, brooding, painful film, but there's no way I couldn't recommend it.
Absolutely, I agree. Fantastic. It's on my list.
Yeah. So. Oh, it is? It's on your list? Yeah. Outstanding. So we'll then move on to your next one.
My next one, taking the tone up a bit lighter.
Good.
Escape from New York.
Oh, excellent. That is on my list too. Fantastic. Yes, John Carpenter film.
Absolutely, yes.
Of course. I'm a big John Carpenter fan.
Yeah.
Obviously, Sting is one of my favourite... Sting. The Thing is one of my... favourite movies of all time from Mr. Carpenter. Kurt Russell. Awesome.
Lee Van Cleef.
Oh, yes.
Ernest Borgnine.
Mr. Borgnine, yes.
Yeah, amongst other people.
Mm-hmm.
It is quite gritty. Looking back on it, Vision of the Future is a bit more comic booky and laughable in some respects.
Don't forget, this movie is set in the futuristic setting of 1997.
Exactly, yeah. But it's still got the grittiness there, and I think the way, maybe on a technical level, it doesn't actually portray the future as it was or ever will be, thankfully. But it does send out a message, in a way, that is in there. Despite some of the humorous bits in it and some of the bits that are sort of camped up in some respects, it does actually have a message underlying it of dark future going ahead. But effectively, it's just a great action sci-fi, really, that just hits the nail on the head and does exactly what you want to do. And you come out just having, enjoyed the ride, as it were.
It does have its tongue firmly in its cheek.
Yeah.
I mean, the fucking, the main, you know, the hero, Snake, he's got an eye patch on.
Yeah.
And he looks stupid, but it's just, it works.
And he's very good at shooting and fighting and hitting people, despite the fact he can only see with one eye.
That's right, His depth perception would be way off, but he can kick ass. And I do actually remember, before we talked about our podcasting friends reviewing movies, our good friends at the JT Movie Podcast reviewed this, and they did bring up a very interesting point, which was that they made this movie now. Say someone made this movie this year.
They are remaking it, aren't they?
Well, it's been mooted for a long time. But whoever they get to play Snake is going to be, 6'5", ripped to fucking shit. Kurt Russell was not massive.
No, he's not a massively tall guy or a massively well built guy.
But he was built enough. That was what the part called for.
Yeah, it's the whole thing about, you know, like Wolverine them getting in somebody who is disproportionate to the actual original character. And you can see that happening. They're going to get somebody like The Rock or Jason Statham or something like that to be playing the part, rather than it being somebody who is somebody you can believe the survival and strength of the character is based upon their skills, rather than just physically just being bigger than the other guy.
Wits, cunning, exactly, guile, fucking, and that was Kurt Russell. That was why it worked. Yeah. Okay, the less said about Escape from L.A., the better, but...
Escape from L.A.?
Yeah, there was apparently it was something that came after this, but I can't confirm that.
I think that's one of these things that people just make up on the internet to fool people, like Indiana Jones 4 and a few other things.
It had Bruce Campbell in it, so I've got to give it some kind of buy, but I won't press too hard. I mean, Escape from New York, great fun, great sci-fi, action. Nonsense, complete bollocks.
It's
so silly and stupid.
Which is it? There are some ways in which your suspension of disbelief is literally switching your brain off and going, this is so stupid, I'm not even going to think about it. I'm just going to enjoy.
You're right.
And this is, in some ways, a polar opposite of Scum and such. Let's face it.
But that's great. I mean, this is one of the good things you're saying about prison movies. It could be anything. I mean, this is great. I mean, the prison in this film is fucking
Manhattan.
It's New York. It's right. It's there. Mm. So, great pick. Can't disagree at all. It was on my list.
And I can't deny that was in my mind as I passed over, well, not completely over, but I passed by being able to see Manhattan when I went to New York.
Yeah.
I remember thinking, that'd be prison.
Yeah. See how different we are. When I did that, when I was going across the bridge from JFK into Manhattan, I looked at it and went, ooh, I'm like Eddie Murphy in Coming to America.
Well, is that as well, yes.
But there we go. Anyway, we shall swiftly move on. We need to. So I will go on to my next one. And it has to be. I love this fucking movie. It is the 1979 movie Escape from Alcatraz. It's on your honorable mention. Okay, good. Directed by Don Siegel. Then it's starring, obviously, Clint Eastwood and Patrick McGoohan. This is great. The way this film builds up the tension, because it's not all about the breakout. It's all about having to deal with, obviously, the life in prison, because obviously it's a prison movie, so you have to deal with that anyway. And Eastwood is monosyllabic best, and just, it works. And then there's Fred Ward in there as well, if I remember rightly, which is always good. And McGoohan plays a cunt.
Yes, absolutely. Yeah.
Very, very well.
Yeah. Well, I'm a big fan of Patrick McGoohan, not just from the Prisoner TV series that he did over here, and not just from the 17 different Columbo episodes he appeared in. It's amazing what can happen when you're best friends. Get Patrick again. But I think there's a lot of other things he did which are overlooked for the quality of his performances. Mm-hmm. I mean, obviously, we can try to ignore Braveheart.
But then he was good.
He was good in it. The rest that really didn't add up.
Sorry, Scotland.
So, not their fault.
Oh, shit. I didn't realise what I just said. Yeah, it was their fucking fault.
It's got a lot of great performances in it, and a lot of it is very brooding and understated and building the tension in that style that they often had in the 70s, where they're actually taking the time over the storytelling in a different way to what they did at other times.
Yeah.
And obviously, like you say, Eastwood is very much right for the part doing that.
Yeah.
And it is iconic as a film, and when you think about Alcatraz, most people, that's one of the first things they think about.
What,
you know,
Robbie Blank?
He's always jumpsuit. No, about Escape from Alcatraz.
Yep.
So it is in the public consciousness so much. That's one of the things that is there, you know, that and the Birdman. You know?
Well, I'd say more so than Birdman of Alcatraz. Because it's also the thing, they mention it in The Rock, and there's also the thing of, did he make it? Is he the only person ever to have escaped and made it to shore and blah, blah, blah? Yeah. And it's still not known. There you go. But yeah, I love this film. Again, possibly a movie I saw far too young, but I've loved it ever since, and probably watch it about once every year or two, I think, because it just grips me from the very beginning. It's awesome.
It's been a few years since I've seen it, but the kind of film that, should the opportunity arise, particularly if it's on television or something, I'd quite happily just stop what I'm doing and watch it, because I know it's going to leave me feeling satisfied afterwards.
Yeah, too right. And a great supporting cast as
Absolutely,
well.
Absolutely, yeah.
Very, 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 very good. So your next one, please, sir.
My next one is Murder in the First.
Right. Okay. I don't know that movie.
Kevin Bacon and Gary Oldman. It's about a young offender who, unfortunately, gets pushed into a situation where his crime is escalated to the degree where he is put into Alcatraz, you know.
Right.
And due to the oppressive regime in there, he ends up in solitary for the majority of his time in there.
It's a true story.
It's a true story, right. Yeah. Well, it's based upon a true story, obviously. They do.
Yeah.
And his case gets highlighted by some lawyers who sort of find out about it, and they take it up and basically try to change the ill treatment he's getting, and then try and find some form of justice for him, considering he shouldn't have gone in there as a youth. And it ends up being the natural fact. His case is what caused Alcatraz to be closed down.
Oh, right, okay.
It was a brutal regime. It was deemed not fit for purpose anymore, and it had become what it shouldn't be.
Right.
And so it was catalyst. Along with them citing other things about the upkeep of the buildings costing so much and blah, 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 and etc. But this was the catalyst for causing to be a change of mood on what Alcatraz stood for, in order that it then stopped being a prison.
Right, and that's so, a tourist destination.
Yeah, yeah. But, I mean, Kevin Bacon, fantastic in it, and Gary Oldman, obviously, and there were other parts in it as well, very supporting characters.
How have I not heard of this film?
Well, I think maybe this is something that we might need to put down as a possible watch on History Misunderstanding.
Too right, bring it on.
Find something to companion it, because it's a film that I rate highly. I mean, I don't expect so many people have heard of it, and it might be that people have watched it and don't actually find it as impactful as me, and therefore aren't as impressed by it and rate it as highly. But for me, it definitely did, and particularly since it's so based around the essence of a true story.
Yeah.
It's worth a look, in my opinion.
I look forward to seeing it. I've never heard of that film. I don't know how. But yeah, I'm definitely up for watching that. It sounds great.
Right.
Okay, on to my last choice. We're on to my last. Number 7. So, wanted to throw a little curveball out there for you. So, this is a 2008 movie. 2008 British movie. The Escapist.
Right.
Don't know if you've seen or heard of this one?
No, I don't think I have.
Okay, 2008.
I thought The Escapist was about Harry Houdini.
There's about 4 or 5... in fact, maybe 6 different things titled as The Escapist.
Right.
It's a well-used title, basically. But no, this is the 2008 movie directed by Rupert Wyatt, starring Brian Cox, Damien Lewis, Joseph Fiennes, and many, many other famous British actors.
Good slew of talent there.
Great ensemble cast. I saw this a couple of years ago. Definitely ripe for a rewatch. I did enjoy it. It was very, very good. Very basic escape from prison drama, basically, but British.
Yeah.
The one thing that makes it stick out in my head is that Damien Lewis, who has now become, you know, very famous through Homeland and things like Band of Brothers and things like that, plays the prison daddy, but is also homosexual and very camp with it.
Right.
So it's kind of playing against type for him.
I suppose, yeah.
And it is a memorable role.
But then you have to remember one of the crews was...
yes, I do. Was
gay and quite camp, so...
I'm not saying anything against homosexual.
There's a basis for...
There is, but he plays it extremely well. Joseph Fiennes, actually, who I'm not a real big fan of, plays the kind of hard nut kind of bare knuckle boxer inside prison. It's actually very good, but the whole film rests on Cox, and Liam Cunningham's in there as well, and he's very good. But Brian Cox just carries the whole film, and I'm not saying the film's bad without him, but he carries it. His performance is fantastic, very entertaining, actually very funny in places as well, and and not very well known. It's just a small, low budget British prison drama, and very enjoyable for it. So if you haven't seen it, mate, then I recommend.
Well, maybe we'll partner that up.
There we go.
In the first, and we'll make that a future investigation for the show before the end of the year, maybe.
Fantastic. We will do this at some point in 2015. Excellent. Okay. So that was my last. Do you have any more to go?
I have one more to go.
One more.
Which is Bronson.
Ah, on my honourable mentions. Because we have reviewed it on HOM, I thought I might leave it off.
I can understand that, yeah, but I originally left it off in favour of Green Mile.
Ah, excellent, okay.
But as far as the impact it had upon me, I know Green Mile is a very good film and a very well respected, but for me, I don't know, just Bronson had more impact on me, and it is a film that
different
it's a film that in my mind has a resonance more,
okay.
For me personally.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Even though I accept that on that film, that's not the case,
mm-hmm.
because obviously Green Miles is very emotive and stuff, but maybe it's the immediacy of Bronson, maybe it's there are parts of it that are in some way lighthearted in their approach and their stylistic mannerisms. But for me, it just has that different take on it that, I don't know, just appeals a bit more. If I was going to go back and watch one of them, I think, you know, Bronson would be more one I would go back to rather than The Green Mile.
Fair enough. So does that mean The Green Mile is on your honourable mentions?
It is, definitely, That would, I would quite happily now pass that over as being my first of my honourable mentions.
Yes.
Happily. Because it is, Green Mile is a film that has an incredible resonance to it and power to it as a story.
Great looking film as well.
Yeah, absolutely. Right. Yeah. Fantastic. It's a long film.
It is. Some would say maybe too long.
But I think you can forgive it, even if you wish it had been cut down a little bit. Mm. I think in the main, you can forgive its length because it is attempting to give the weight to the story that it needs and not rush it.
I agree. Because
if you've got a story like that, that, you know, sometimes it needs to be told out longer form in order to give you the sense of a length of time, really, I suppose.
I couldn't disagree with you, yeah, mate. I agree. I think The Green Mile is an exceptional film. I think it's very, very well made and it looks great. And it's because it's such a bizarre subject matter and obviously it's not rooted in reality, really. Then, I think you're right. I think it does need to take its time. So, I can't disagree with that at all.
So, with your honourable mentions, what else have you got?
Well, I'd very quickly mention Dead Man Walking, Sean Penn, Susan Sarandon.
Oh, yes, yeah.
I think, you know, the nun helping the man on death row. Yeah. I don't think that can really be ignored, the performances and, the tricky subject matter. Now, I do have a few on my list here of honourable mentions that I wanted to, you know, skirt past you and see what you thought. First one, Out of Sight, which we did review for HOM about a year or so ago. Not completely confined to a prison, but there are there's a fairly big chunk of it.
From my memory, there's enough of a chunk of it set in the prison to give it a begrudging get by, to be honest.
Fair enough. And then it's just got the bit when George Clooney smacks Don Cheadle's mate around the face with a big book.
Yes.
And then the prison guard comes in and they just pretend to be reading the book, even though his face is smashing on the floor.
That is a great scene, to be honest.
I did love that scene. So I'm glad you accepted that. American History X.
Yes, now that's, I've forgotten about the prison portion of that.
Yeah, because that's when Edward Norton sees the light against his own ridiculous views of religion and, you know, Nazism and things that, or anti-Semitism, if you wish. And it's sort of like, I think personally, I would accept that into it because of, you know, that's the part of the movie that's all shown in black and white.
Yes.
You know, I mean, obviously everything that's shown in flashback is in black and white, you know, the curb stamp and the basketball game and everything else, but that part in prison when he's trying to be accepted but then realizing that he doesn't want to be accepted,
that's it. Yeah,
it's very powerful, it's very visceral, so it's an
epiphany moment, definitely.
It is definitely, yeah. So accepting that one,
yeah, absolutely, yeah. Outstanding. As I said, it's not really got enough time spent on the prison portion
behind bars,
but I think in that case it's so integral to the story that I'd be reluctant to deny its place as an honourable mention. I think if you'd taken it as one of your main picks, I would have quibbled a little.
Fair enough.
But for this, I think it's worth a mention. Yeah,
outstanding. And then lastly is a film I don't know whether you've seen, which is called The Life of David Gale.
I've heard of it, but I've not seen it.
Which is a film. Now, I wouldn't personally let me include this on the list until I explain. This was Kevin Spacey, Kate Winslet, Laura Linney.
Right.
It was basically, this whole film is a statement about the American death row prison system.
Yes, which is ridiculous.
It is very, very silly.
It doesn't lower the crime rate, it actually puts it up, and it costs a lot more money than just keeping them in normal imprisonment.
Well, obviously, because you haven't seen it, and as I said, it is quite a lesser-known film, so people may not have seen it out there, our dear and valued listeners. Basically, it concerns David Gale, Kevin Spacey. He decides to perform an act that will end him up on death row, however he may be innocent or guilty of it. So it's pointing out the fallacy of the death row system. So while technically it's not a prison film, because it's highlighting the issues it does, I think it deserves an inclusion, or just at least a mention, I think.
Right.
It's very thought-provoking, and it will, especially as you just said, the feelings you have about the death row system, then I would recommend giving it a watch and seeing what you think. And the cast is fantastic. Very, very good. Okay. Spacey's awesome, like always. Yeah, and special mention must go to Laura Linney because she's great.
Right, sir.
So, honourable mentions for you, sir.
Well, I've got listed down Startup.
Oh, yes.
Which I haven't actually seen, which is why it only went on to honourable mentions, but I believe it is the scum of this generation.
It is.
In a number of ways.
It is.
Full of impact and a fantastic performance from Jack O'Connell.
Yeah, recent BAFTA winner.
Who, since I first encountered him acting in believe it was Skins.
It was. That's right.
Which managed to keep me watching that TV series for longer than I really should have done because of his performance, really.
See, I never watched Skins, so I've only known him from movies.
You can tell he was destined to bigger things, and I think he's deserving of the attention. And apparently that film is very good. So that's one that only slipped onto honorable mentions because I've not seen it, and I have to be open about that.
It was, it's a great prison film. It does have a bit of a silly ending, but it's very enjoyable. And as you say, his performance is outstanding. And where else were you see a film where a man poos out a phone? There you go. Oh, yeah. It happens. Trust me.
Not from HMV, you wouldn't know.
Edit. Yeah. So next, please.
So next I've got is an honourable mention because, again, enough of it takes part to actually shape a story in a prison rather than it being the majority of the story, and that's McVicar.
Oh, Roger Daltrey.
Roger Daltrey, yeah. I mean, a lot of it is him on the run.
Starts out in a prison, though, doesn't it?
Starts out in a prison, and obviously they're trying to get him back in there, and that is integral to the plot, even though it's not the main part of it, which is why, it's not the only reason it slipped down into being an honourable mention. It's not a great film, but I think it's good enough. Yeah. I mean, obviously, my fandom of The Who, and therefore, being attracted towards projects that involve Roger Daltrey and things acting-wise, I think that obviously gives me a bit more of a soft spot for it. Mm-hmm. But I don't think it's got merit beyond just my personal inclination in that sense.
You're right, yeah.
And obviously, we've mentioned the film version of Porridge.
Yes, which wasn't called Porridge.
Which wasn't called Porridge.
Wasn't it? And was it called Going Straight, or was that
Going Straight was the TV series. Yeah, right. I think it was something like Behind Bars or something like that. And I can't remember. I did have it in my head the other day, and I can't remember what it is. But the film version of Porridge, which is an incredible TV series in its own right.
Fantastic,
anyway, the talent of Ronnie Barker there, and it just with the, again, an ensemble cast.
Beckinsale, wasn't it?
Richard Beckinsale, and all the rest of the people who are in it, who are obviously the majority of them from the TV series. And it's a comedy, really, set in prison, but it's done in such a way that it doesn't overshadow that prison's a shitty place. And using the Ronnie Barker character, Fletcher, is using the comedy of the situation and stuff, and it's how they do that to actually overcome the horribleness of being in prison. And the fact that they're stuck in situations where there's the varying forces around them trying to actually use them to their own ends. The criminal element that's in charge of the prison in some respects, and then the prison wardens and stuff, which are putting pressure on both sides. And it's the usual thing that you get in the TV series where, Fletcher manages to come out succeeding to keep both of them from killing him for one further week. But it's a fantastically well done transition, I think, it is a TV movie in some respects, you're the feeling nowadays.
Yeah.
But I think it's a great transition between the two and allows them to build out the characters in a way and put more to it that they didn't have a chance to do on the TV series.
Yeah.
Okay. So that's on there as well. I mean, we've mentioned Birdman of Alcatraz, as a mention, rather than it being a film that's worth too much attention. It's more iconic, I think, for the name and stuff, rather than it being and the general story, rather than the actual film itself. And the other one I've got on my list is Alien 3.
Oh, of course, Prison Ship,
yeah.
Anything with Brian Glover in it, Gas Man, then that's fine by me. I can totally agree with that one.
Yeah.
Very underrated film.
I think so, yeah. I mean, the amount of British talent in it obviously attracts us to it more than maybe the other people.
Charles Dance as well. Not playing a cunt.
Yeah, amazingly.
Yeah.
So, yes, that's the end of the honourable mentions from my point of view and you as well. So.
Yeah, mine too. So, have we had any responses to our pleas?
We have, yes. We obviously had, as you would expect, Bobby Polanco.
What do you mean, as you'd expect? He never gets in touch.
He's just such a quiet man. Just won't get involved, will he? He doesn't actually take an interest.
Did you know he doesn't like podcasts?
I've heard he doesn't like podcasts, yeah. I've heard he's got a violent hatred of them.
I know.
Yeah, it's some kind of phobia, maybe.
So, of all, the one time to have 100 podcasts that he's got in touch, what's he got to say for him?
He's obviously accidentally sent us a message.
Pretending
like he's interested, but we know he's not. But no, our dear, dear friend Bobby.
Gorgeous and lovely, fluffy friend Bobby.
Mr. Nice.
Mr. P.
So he sent in his list, which had Cool Hand Luke
on it.
The Rock.
Oh, yeah, okay, yeah, great.
Okay, yeah, which I didn't include on my honourable mentions because I don't think it's a very good film.
It's good fun. What did Scotland call it? Balls out action or whatever he called it. But yeah, he's right.
Yeah, I seem to remember there was other opinions expressed about it by other people. Yeah, but there you go.
That's good fun.
He said, escape to victory.
Yes. Oh, yeah.
Robbie also said.
Pelé scoring an overhead kick with broken arm.
That's it, yes. Which, if we were, as I said, talking about prisoner of war dramas, I mean, that would get in there for its iconic status towards in this country.
Of course. And Max von Sydow playing absolutely. A ruthless Nazi.
Yeah. I can't believe he's still around.
Well, Max von Sydow?
Yeah.
Why? Because he's looked 80 for the last 50 years.
Exactly, yeah. It's amazing.
But he's Ming the Merciless. He'll live forever.
Yeah, well. So, yeah, Robbie also mentioned The Green Mile.
Excellent, good.
He mentioned Life.
Oh, no, the Eddie Murphy, Martin Lawrence bullshit.
I'm afraid so.
Ugh.
Yep.
That was bollocks.
Well, this is Robbie's pick, so... Well,
yeah. Sorry, Bobby, I did not enjoy that film.
It's not one I would consider it's a mention rather than honourable mention.
It's a mention, so,
but
yeah,
hey, you're allowed your choices, Robbie.
We're allowed ours.
He asked whether he could have El Mariachi on there because of the prison sequence in that. And
yeah, I'll give him that.
And I said, yeah, on the basis that we said before about the actual part in the story it actually plays, that I felt was worthwhile.
Yeah, I'll give him that. No problem. I really like that film as well.
Yeah, and similarly, I gave him a pass also on Tango and Cash.
Oh, yeah, you've got to. You
exactly. He said that when I just went, yeah. I'm not even going to try and quibble on that. Just leave it.
Big hair, big Stallone wearing big glasses, tying up a man with his own slinky. The easiest escape from prison ever. Very, you know, handily placed zip wire in that fucking prison. You know, throw the belt over and gone. Straight.
Yep. Yeah. So I've got other ones on my list, but you want...
Yeah, we'll move on to the contributions from someone. I've had a couple of text responses to this.
Okay, give us the first one then.
Yeah, the first one is from the lovely Mrs. Smokey.
Oh.
Yeah.
Best host.
The best host.
We have in our roster.
We do. And most of these have been said before, but we'll get this. So she's gone with Starter and Bronson, which we've had. Shawshank, obviously. Everyone's going for Shawshank. Apart from Bobby P, but there you go. Longest Yard. Now, unfortunately, she's gone for the Adam Sandler one. I blew me away. But then apparently she didn't know the Burt Reynolds one existed, so.
But even if she didn't know it existed, I don't see how you can use an Adam Sandler.
Yeah, I know. She mentioned The Green Mile.
Right, oh, yeah.
And then finally, because she was given a 7, which she said it was a long shot, but would we include Schindler's List? Again, now, prisoner of war thing.
Concentration camp. I wouldn't include it on my list, but I'll let her off with it definitely. Since it's Mrs. Smokey. I couldn't understand where she's coming from on it.
Yeah, so. Technically there is a lot of action happening behind bars, so to speak. So yeah, I can see where you're coming from, but I can see where she's coming from. So we'll let that one slide. So who's next?
I've got a contribution from Joe.
Oh, outstanding.
Shawshank Redemption.
Of course.
The Rock.
Oh, yes.
A film called A Prophet, which I actually...
It's a French movie.
Yeah, I haven't seen that one, so I'm only very vaguely aware of it.
It gets brought up a lot when it's talked about gangster movies and prison movies. I think it won a foreign language Oscar. I could be wrong, but I think it did. And it's been recommended to me for years, and I've never got around to watching it, but I will watch it soon.
Right, Hunger.
Oh, yes.
As well, which is about Northern Ireland prisons up there with the various paramilitaries and things. I can't remember who's in it though off the top of my head. But yeah, so she mentioned that one, which apparently has got a lot of quality to it.
Apparently so.
Con Air. Which is Prisoners, so
Don't think I'd allow that one.
So
that's not in a prison.
It's not in a prison, no.
It's not behind bars.
Can you say that that's, you know, like you have prison ships, you have a prison airplane?
No.
Yeah.
Oh, no, hang on. I'm being unnecessarily harsh there. You think about the scenes with Ving Rhames, John Malkovich, and someone else. They're in a cage in the plane.
They're imprisoned, and it is the thing you say. So this is why, although I don't think it's a very good film.
No,
I mean, even Colin Meaney, I don't think his performance is great, and John Cusack is possible in it. Mm. I don't think it's a very good film. I mean, John Malkovich is
over the top.
Is over the top as he always is. But I just don't think it's a very good film.
I don't either. But now thinking about it, I'm gonna let that slide. I'm gonna give that a bye.
Oh well.
It's. I mean, you know,
you can apologise in person then, can't you?
Yeah. Well, I'm not. They can hear me right now. I'm not apologising in person at all. So what's next?
Tango and Cash.
Oh, excellent. Okay, yeah.
And finally from Joe is An Innocent Man, Tom Selleck.
Oh shit, yes. Yeah.
As a man falsely fitted up as a drug dealer and thrown in prison by corrupt cops. So
that's just made me think of Fortress now with Christopher Lambert. Has anyone said that? Christopher Lambert, yeah.
No, I don't think of it. So, have you got a contribution from somebody else before I read the final one that I've had?
I do, sir. I had a text from our good friend, Mr. Ben T-Zone Taylorson from the JT Movie Podcast.
Now, this should be interesting.
It should. And I'm going to just read his text out. I literally sent, and he knows this, he's listening, but any thoughts on prison movies, mate? And he puts, oof, first. I can't do his accent, so I'm not going to try. Tango and Cash.
Yeah, there I imagine going. That would be on there for Mr. Taylorson.
Yeah. The Jean-Claude Van Damme classic Death Warrant. Yeah. Escape from New York. It's technically a prison film. Yes,
yes, we agree.
You're right there, Ben. We agree. And then this is just his little afterthought for Death Warrant. I'll throw my weight behind Death Warrant, though. A man gets thrown in an industrial furnace, only to jump out minutes later, somehow still alive. And to make it more amusing, he's called the Sandman.
Not the Salmon Man. Right, okay.
Thank you, T-Zone. We fully appreciate that. And yes, you're quite right on all of those. So, yeah, well done. Right, okay. And so who we got?
Finally, we had Dave, who from Twitter, who is on Twitter as WilbroJr36, mm-hmm. Who is a regular friend of ours on Twitter, who yep. interacts with us quite a bit on there.
Mm-hmm.
Seems like a very nice guy, so very glad to have him as a contributor and friend.
Well, he's called Dave. How could he not be nice?
So, and he listed Great Escape,
mm-hmm.
Shawshank,
yep.
Green Mile,
mm-hmm.
The Rock,
yep.
Con Air,
yep.
Death Race.
The Statham movie? Really? Wow, okay, fair enough.
And finally,
Ian McShane in that movie as well?
I believe so, yeah. And finally from him, from Dave, was Escape Plan.
Oh, shit. Yes, it counts. It does count.
Yes.
Yeah,
yes.
It's just not very good. And the fight between I think it was Stallone and Vinnie Jones is one of the most ridiculous things I've ever seen in my life.
And you've seen me dancing.
That's very true.
So the only other contributions we had for jail films were from my friend Alistair.
Oh, okay.
And along with a number that have been mentioned by other people, the only one that hadn't been mentioned by others was Lonely Are the Brave.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
So, which I think was a lesser known pick, to be honest. So, he's plucked that from quite an obscure place. So, well done on that.
Very good. So, are we at an end?
We are, yes. Yes, this is it, which will be met with greater joy by the listener than ourselves.
So, that was the end of the episode 2.
Yes.
So, do we have a spoiler for what episode 3 is going to be about?
Well, yes. On episode 3, we should be joined by third person.
Outstanding.
Alistair.
Oh, outstanding.
That is the intention. And I will present you, Alistair, and the dear listener with the theme for the next one.
Ooh.
And that is films that have the name of a country in the title.
Ooh, country in the title.
Now, before you race off,
yes.
Let me put in a stipulation.
Ooh.
That I will not be accepting America.
You won't be accepting America?
No.
Right.
It's not the name of a fucking country. It's the name of a continent.
The United States. Right, okay.
So, United States, yes. And I'll even accept USA and UK. I'll accept those as countries within a title. But America, such as coming to America, no.
Okay.
Because that doesn't specify which country in America.
So some would class you as strict. I class you as correct.
That's fine then.
Yeah.
So.
But then could I just be, you know, really cheeky? And that any film that has the word island in it, spelled ISLAND, could I just say that's island?
No, it only counts if it's
spelled right.
It's spelled correctly. And you have to roll your R's when you say Ireland.
I can't roll my R's. My arse won't roll.
No. Fortunate for many of us.
Oh,
so, this brings us to the end, and I hope people will feel free to contribute next time. Hashtagging on Twitter with Cinematic Sevens, which is spelling out the word sevens,
yep.
Because for some reason Twitter doesn't like the numbers including the hashtags.
Really?
Don't know why. Hmm. Yeah, it doesn't always seem to. It does like it sometimes, and other times might. So it's confusing. So it makes it easier to just keep it one. So we will be back, hopefully, without too much delay in future. And in the meantime, we will have our regular show,
yep.
You Must Understand It.
Yep.
To listen to.
Oh, yes.
So for the time being, I'd like to thank you for joining me and
you're welcome.
The listeners as well, and for all those who contributed.
Absolute pleasure.